Hello and welcome to today's podcast. My name is George Byrne. I'm one of the business development managers here at Copters. And today we've got a really good and exciting Copters podcast. Today I'm joined by Derek Freebie from Trendspec. Derek, are you with us?
I've got you. Nice to be here.
Fantastic. Derek, do you just want to give us a brief overview of what you do, where you've come from, and your position at Trendspec?
Yes, no problem. So yeah, nice to meet everyone. My name's Derek Freebie. I'm the CEO and one of the co-founders of Trendspec. And to give you a little brief overview of how we came to be, the three co-founders, we're all from an aviation background, predominantly as airline pilots. And then back in 2013, we started our first venture when drones were really in its infancy in Australia. And we started our first venture to revolutionize the way inspections were conducted by using technology such as drones to increase safety and efficiency in that process. But one thing we quickly learned was, although it was one thing capturing all of this imagery, it was another thing to actually make that useful. So
yeah.
Back in 2018, Trendspec was born. And what it effectively is a software platform that enables an organization, both internally and externally, to complete inspections, assessments, and report on asset condition all through a web-based software.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thanks for the brief overview. I mean, today what we're going to plan to do is talk about the software itself, look at a little bit more in depth at where the software has come in terms of over the years, what the main applications that it's going to be used for, and then also who it's designed for. So we're going to be looking at the companies who are currently using it and obviously who it is designed for. So to get us kicked off, do you just want to give us a little bit more on the actual use case of the platform? Because we've had a couple of goes recently in the last couple of days, put some good data through and found some really good useful use cases for the system. Derek, do you just want to go into a bit more detail?
Sure. So Trendspec is built on the foundation of what we effectively a digital twin.
Yeah, brilliant.
But what is different and where we kind of disassociate with a digital twin, it's not a computer generated version of a 3D model. It's actually built on reality. So built using those photographs captured by a drone. What our purpose at Trendspec was delivering the most highly detailed model available, because the purpose of our software and our models is actually to do a complete condition or visual condition assessment from the model itself and have that being a replica of that asset at that particular time. And then as the assessments are done over the years, that information or that modeling is layered on top of each other so you can start monitoring trends and being more predictive with an organization's maintenance. So it's really designed to give an organization complete confidence.
Yeah, brilliant. And just for anybody who's listening or who's curious about what a digital twin is, it's essentially a visual representation of an asset. And then, as you say, you know, you can record that, store that, and then assess that compared to 6 months down the line, 12 months down the line. Is that right, Derek?
That's exactly right. Because when you're comparing it to traditional methods, often a lot of these assets inspected manually, either by rope access or via cherry pickers, you know, and it's not only dangerous, but it takes a lot of time to do and it's really expensive. But the output of that information is often just spot inspections that form some sort of PDF. And when we moved into the drone era, we started just replacing those photos through the use of a drone instead of having someone manually climb something. But again, often those photos either sit in a hard drive or they get put into the exact same type of PDF that's really static. So the digital twin, or as Trendspec calls it, our definitive twins, really gives the organization the ability to take from a PDF report that they're most used to into a completely interactive 3D report, for instance.
Fantastic. And that's all cloud-based, isn't it?
It's all cloud-based. So in terms from an organizational perspective, no hardware requirements that they need and there's no software they need to download. And it's all accessed via a web browser and backed by Trendspec's cybersecurity protocols, which were some of the strongest.
Fantastic. And I think when it comes to photogrammetry and different mapping softwares, I think having the, you know, the hardware, the knowledge to process stuff, and obviously the storage capability is always something that a lot of people trip up on. So having the ability to store all of your assets on a digital platform, then you can then send out to the end customer, give them access to, is a really useful thing, though.
Exactly. So yeah, security is not really nice to have. It's mainly mandated these days.
Yeah.
And it's part of our DNA. But we also then give, you know, the whole intent is built for an organization. So to be able to, within the application, collaborate with people amongst your team or other teams within the organization, or to be able to share it securely through like role-based access control to external parties such as engineers and subject matter experts, to all be able to collaborate in the one place just speeds up inspection workflows and ultimately lets them get to a decision and the right decision faster.
Fantastic. And that's exactly what we see a lot in the UK, especially in this sort of sector, especially the inspection side. That's what people have been crying out for a long period of time. So moving on to a bit more of the application side, and we'll talk about the different assets this software is being used on. But in terms of hardware and equipment that, say, your standard inspection engineer is, you know, investing in maybe an M300 or something like that, what are the best cameras to best utilize your software? What's the best hardware that you would recommend for capturing digital twins?
So we're quite agnostic to the camera type. So what our models are built to is more of a resolution requirement. So for those who have done modeling before, you're probably most common to the term grand sample distance or your GSD. When we're talking about the models from an inspection point of view, we're talking about a resolution down to, some of them are 0.3 of a millimeter per pixel or 0.3 GSD. So really detailed where you can see fine cracking. Now you can achieve that using any type of drone and camera combination. Where it becomes really tricky is for the larger the asset. So if you're using, say, a Mavic or a Phantom, it'll take a lot more imagery to build that same model than it would compared to using like a P1 camera or a Phase 1.
Yeah.
So it's more than efficiency, because what you could do with a Phase 1 in 10 minutes, it might take you an hour flight time with a Phantom, for instance, because you have to fly a lot closer to that asset and spend much more time in flight.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's that classic trade-off. Do you invest more in the equipment to stand back and get higher quality images and reduce time on site? Or do you go for a cheaper platform and just get closer in? And a lot of companies now are moving towards, as you say, the P1, the Phase 1s for exactly that. In terms of capturing that higher quality, we're talking about using the Phase 1s, the P1s. But as you say, you can use essentially any camera on any drone. Are you restricted to just drone photography?
No. So, or the main restriction at the moment is really built around having that geospatial information, so the GPS
yeah.
data.
Yeah, yeah.
So having a drone with PPK or RTK makes the whole process so much better and you get a much better end result.
So something as simple as a Phantom 4 RTK.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that means if you've got like handheld cameras or DSLRs with those GPS recorders that you can often put in hot shoes, that still works as well, as long as you follow the same methodology with the same overlap, for instance.
Fantastic. So to talk about the process of capturing the data, and a lot of people obviously are very accustomed with the likes of Drone Deploy, Pix4D. Would it be a very similar process in terms of creating a grid and then the drone goes out and captures the data, or would you recommend manual flight?
There's a lot of software to automate that flight process.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our clients also use a manual process. So it's the same philosophy,
yeah.
But what Inspect mainly deals in is the 3D structures. So where most will use like a drone deploy or, you know, those type of flight planners that will give you a mapping type grid, it's the same process you would be using on the facade of that 3D structure. Say it's a building, you'd mm-hmm. use the same mapping run on the facade. Where it gets tricky is always got to think about that transition. So you can't just go from a face onto the facade to a top down on the roof. You need that transition shot that will get on an angle. Otherwise, it's too much of a difference in perspectives for us to be able to model effectively.
Right, fantastic. And for anybody who is listening and wondering how the processing happens, essentially, if I was to go out and do that, do the grid, and I capture all of the imagery that I needed of a certain asset, say it's a rooftop or the side of a building, I then, as the work scope, upload all of the imagery to the platform. And then how long before, because you guys all process everything, don't you? You create the 3D model. How long before I would see that model?
Normally, we have it back to you the next day. So
wow.
Not everything in Transpec is automated. We do have our quality assurance team who QC each and every data set and will make sure that it's the best available model that ends up in your account. But usually it's the next day, regardless of the size. So we have some models that, you know, as little as 100 photos. We've seen some big ones that are 20 plus thousand photos.
Fantastic. So within 24 hours, whatever the size, usually you would be able to get it back. That is phenomenal.
Yeah. And it also depends a little bit on the way it was captured. So the better the capture, the quicker it gets processed.
Ah, right. Okay. Fantastic. Excellent. So maybe a little bit more of a tricky question, but we've obviously spoken about the different platforms that are out there. What separates Transpec from the rest? What makes them so special? What's the big use case for you guys compared to some of the other photogrammetry softwares out there?
Our biggest difference is really in the quality of the model that we deliver. So we've seen a lot of direct comparisons where we've had clients upload the same data set as they have with our competitors. And more often than not, and their exact phrases, it's night and day in terms of quality.
Wow.
Because we've built it for a particular purpose. So it's been built to do, as I said, condition assessments, inspections, and trend monitoring, where it's not designed like some of the others around that mapping type of use case. And the other big reason, mainly for Transpec's success, is that everything we've done, even from the start, and, you know, as I mentioned, we came from a drone services background all those years ago.
Yeah.
So everything has been developed in direct collaboration with some of the largest organizations globally to meet their needs and workflows. It's incredibly simple to use and really intuitive. So for an organization, they don't have difficulties with training or anything like that. More often than not, people don't get any training. They log in and it's that intuitive that they can just simply go ahead and use it. A lot around the collaboration tools, the security, the ability to share it, because it comes down to really three key points for most of our clients is A, that it's accessible, B, that they can control it, and C, that the data is easy to understand and use. So that's where our strongest suits have been, especially in that enterprise space.
Amazing. So designed by operators for operators. Yeah, that's fantastic. I mean, we see that a lot in the equipment side as well, where they'll go out to operators and say, what works best for you? And that's exactly what it sounds like you guys have done as well. So yeah, it's a great stance to have. So moving forward to a bit more on the application side, Derek, we know that it can be used for a magnitude of different things. What are you seeing as the biggest? Because you guys are obviously based in Australia. What are you seeing in Australia, but globally, is one of the biggest use cases at the moment?
I used to be able to give you an answer for that, but we have so many now. So one of our primary big users is the property sector.
Okay.
Not so much residential, but more commercial, industrial, especially for those rooftops, commercial, the facades, because we're seeing so many clients have a lot of risk and liability in those facades with things such as masonry falling off and down onto public streets, for instance. From then to telecommunications, so we have a lot of telco and cell towers in there, which has been a big eye-opener because nothing really in reality meets what they have on their records. So there's a big disparity between what they believe they have and what they actually have on all of these towers. Very big in oil and gas, industrial sites, especially because a lot of them are classed as major hazard sites and there's a lot of regulatory inspection requirements put on them. And then we've seen like the other end of the spectrum where we have a lot of in emergency services and police, for instance, using it as a tool to recreate accident or crime scenes for later records.
Oh, fantastic. So yeah, we've obviously know that it's a huge inspection tool, but even for forensics as well.
Yeah, exactly. From the, you know, industrial roof fire, they can pinpoint causes from that. And more so to have that as a record and say there's a major car accident. What's the ring road around London? M25?
The M25, yeah.
Yeah. So the cost of having multiple lanes shut during peak hour, if there was an accident that had a fatality, by opening it up quicker after a modelling, by doing a complete 3D model, means they can do the investigation later and open that road. In Australia here, I think it's like, for a major road in Sydney, it's upwards of $5 million per hour.
Wow.
That road's closed, the cost to the local economy.
Amazing. So what, first responders get to site, send a drone up, map the area out, and then bang, they can get straight into it.
Exactly. And when you can get millimeter detail, you know you've got everything there in 3D as a recreation of the scene. So yeah, there's multiple use cases across so many different industries, but primarily our big users are the ones that own large portfolios.
Yeah.
And that's why there's a lot in property and a lot in water and telecommunications. But the owners tend to have the biggest benefits because they can share it out with everyone below them. So if we take property, for example, as an owner that we find there, then securely sharing it with the property manager, who then securely shares it with the building supervisor. If there's an issue, they share it then with the engineering. If they need that issue fixed, then they share it with multiple maintenance contractors, who we've seen it used as a tendering tool even.
Yeah.
So instead of having people come to site to quote on a job, they just log in and they can plan, take all their measurements, work out site access, do all of that from a desktop. So, yeah, I think in the property sector alone, we mapped out 14 different stakeholders who had direct benefits, over 66 different value-based outcomes it was driving, all from just one model.
Fantastic. And I think that comes down to some of the stuck points and the real difficulties with a lot of companies having to, you know, big organizations where they've got to send that information and that data to different departments to process and to understand. If you can have a single source online, whether they can bring it up on a web browser, and then all you have to do is grant them access, essentially, and then they can have full accountability on what they're seeing. That is a really useful tool.
Exactly. And then it takes it from one value proposition where it might just be used by one person for one particular reason.
Yeah.
If you multiply that out of the organization, it becomes really beneficial.
Brilliant. Brilliant. No, that's a fantastic explanation. I know it's a wide variety of use case, and I think that just adds to the magnitude of different things that drone operators can go into. I mean, we always talk about drones being for survey, inspection, public safety, but there is a very wide range of different applications and different industries that are now being used. And essentially, the drone is the vehicle to carry the camera, and your software is then the processing tool to take what the data from the camera's collected. So yeah, it all fits well into place. So just to move on to a couple of case studies, what's shone out to you recently that you can talk about? Obviously, I won't ask you to talk about anything which is maybe sensitive, but is there anything that you can discuss and we can talk about that has really impressed you?
A lot around a lot of concrete structures. We're finding that there's been that much value because of the change that we'd be able to create. And it's not necessarily... And this is a big thing, I guess, within an organization. We're not here to replace work. We're here to enhance it and be the best friend to an asset manager or an inspector.
Yeah.
But some of the outcomes when, you know, you consider the cost, time, and risk that's taken through organizations, especially like in water, a lot of the reservoirs and dams and those type of assets, is something astronomical. And we're talking about taking the process. One recent one, we did a comparison where it was going to take a group of 3 engineers 8 to 10 weeks to inspect these concrete silos.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, and how they were currently doing it was by rope access. So they'd have that team of engineers abseiling down this, you know, these silos with pen and paper, marking out cracks and defects as they would abseil down. And we did a complete comparison with the new method which was using drone technology. So he took that process from that 8 to 10 week mark down to 4 hours it took the drone to capture it. As I said, we modeled it overnight. The resolution of that model was 0.7 of a millimeter per pixel. And to give you an example of what that actually looks like, it's you can see the paint flaking off a downpipe.
Wow. That is incredible. So talking about how the traditional method was used, what sort of time scale are we talking?
Traditionally?
Yeah.
Yeah, so 8 to 10 weeks traditionally.
And with a drone?
4 hours.
Wow.
And then the engineers the following day could do that desktop analysis. And it didn't negate them having to go to site, but instead of spending 8 to 10 weeks there, they spent a total of 3 days just further investigating areas they pinpointed through the model.
Incredible. I mean, on a time-saving standpoint, that is phenomenal. But then you've also got all of the costs associated with delays, with having those, you know, those extended periods of time. And also you could argue the safety side as well, not having to put people on scaffolding or on rope access. So yeah, it's triple whammy really of benefits there.
It really is. And I guess, you know, the benefits just keep coming, especially when you're considering some of the biggest initiatives most global companies are doing at the moment all around sustainability or ESG. So, you know, environmental, social and governance. When you can increase the safety component from an organizational perspective, where you don't have to send people up as much onto these risky situations, it's driving that type of impact. And then you don't have to use like bulky equipment, cherry pickers, trying to get those around site, reducing the amount of site visits a day. Because you can imagine,
of course, yeah,
an engineer having to drive to and from site 3 times versus what, 5 days a week for 10 weeks, 50 times.
Yeah.
So you have the greenhouse gas emission reductions through that social side. We've seen a lot of our clients even map it down to being able to remotely access it via desktop has a social and well-being, meaning people can work from home, for instance. When you actually put it out, when we did this once, we actually drew it out on a whiteboard in terms of like a mind map of who was using it, how they were using it, and all the benefits. And we almost needed 4 whiteboards to get it done.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah, definitely it will drive a lot of change over the coming years. And we've seen like UK is one of our biggest markets, UK and Europe. So it's good to see that it's very well received in terms of a digital innovation piece.
Yeah, and I think it is that ability to capture that digital representation and then store it. So if you're doing restoration jobs or, you know, you've got a building which is near destruction, you can at least capture that image and then save it on record and then go back to it if you require. But no, Derek, fantastic. I mean, just to close, we'll go for a quick sort of how easy it is to use, but it is essentially collect the data on whatever device you're using, you know, whatever drone, whatever camera it may be, upload it to the input portal. And then within 24 hours, you guys have created this 3D model that can be inspected, can be analyzed, and then sent on and shared to anybody that needs to see it. Is that right?
It's exactly it.
Wow.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
It's designed for you, so even from like if from a drone service provider aspect, just means you can capture, upload, and keep going, get to the next job.
Brilliant.
We take care of the rest, and then you share it on with the clients. And from an organizational perspective, even from us in Australia, we're probably seeing just as many enterprises internalizing big drone teams and drone programs.
Yep.
It's becoming mainstream and it's becoming mainstream quickly. And I guess the biggest benefit is the sooner you start collecting data, you have that data from now. So anything that's developed in a year, 5 years, 10 years, you can always retrospectively make use of that initial data set. Where if you leave it for another year or leave it another 2 years, you can't go back in time to have that baseline.
No, fantastic. Derek, really appreciate you joining us today. It's been brilliant. I'm already clued up on TrendSpec, but just to even hear a bit more of an insight from yourself has blown my mind. And I know it's going to be a fantastic listen for people who are either already in the drone space, looking at, you know, potential inspection softwares, or people already using certain products but looking to maybe move away and start utilizing a premium product. So, Derek, really appreciate your time. Any closing words for our Copters listeners all around the world?
Just get out there and practice. And once you start modeling, you'll quickly see how easy it can be, how much value it provides, and it will just be a perfect addition in your tool belt.
Amazing.
But happy flying, everyone.
Derek, thank you very much for joining us. It has been really insightful and really useful for our listeners. Remember to go and like and subscribe, and have a great day. Thank you very much.